has risen. Alleluia. Christ has risen indeed. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church this beautiful Easter morning. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you have any questions about our worship today or any of the fellowship, worship, mission, or education opportunities listed in your bulletin, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. Or following worship, there'll be an elder standing at the communion table to greet you and receive your questions. And a special welcome this morning to our youngest worshipers. Yes, I see and hear you. Here at GPC, we take our young children very seriously, and the welcome that we extend to you. So, kids, I know sometimes worship can get a little long, and sometimes we can get a little wiggly and a little giggly, but we believe that's part of the joyful noise that we bring here to worship to praise God. So it's okay. But if the adult you brought with you starts to get a little uncomfortable with that, just so you know, there's a nursery and a toddler room right down this hallway. If you need a little break, and at any time, you're welcome to get up and do so. And of course, we also extend a great welcome for everyone to join us for coffee time in the fellowship hall following worship. If you would, please join me in a time of prayer. Loving and powerful God, joy floods over our souls on this day. Christ is risen. You have overcome death and opened the gates of everlasting life. Open our hearts and our spirits to receive fully the joy which has been given for us. Alleluia. Amen. Let us worship God.
It's okay. Please rise as you are able and join me in a call to worship. We may not see it,
but the air is full of exciting energy.
We may not notice it,
but something is stirring and cannot be contained.
We may not recognize it,
but nestled deep within each one of us and the midst of this community is the possibility for renewal.
So let us sing, Alleluia.
Thank you.
litany prayer of confession printed in your bulletin. Christ, we come to the empty tomb. We see our own death. We see our own tomb. We see our own emptiness. And we remember how we have treated other people, members of our family, friends, and neighbors. Lord, we come to your tomb. We see a hungry world before us, the pain of starving children, the guilt of war on our hands, and we know that collectively we share in those injustices. Lord, we come to the empty tomb. We search within ourselves and we cannot escape what we are. People caught up in the pain of our own wrongdoing. For some, a deep sense of loneliness and a frustration of what we would be but are not. Lord,
when we come to the empty tomb, we lay before you our pain, our emptiness, and look to you for hope.
People of God, why do you seek the living among the dead in an empty tomb? Are you afraid? Are you uncertain? And are you uncomfortable here?
Our wounds are deep. We have turned away from that man. We have broken with him and seek his fellowship.
Do not dwell on your wounds any longer, for he has risen to heal you. He has risen to forgive you. He has risen to transform us all. Christ has risen to forgive us. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. Will the children please come forward? Okay, so I want you to hold your fish banks and put one hand on each end. Take your hands and put your hands on each end, one on the mouth, one on the tail. Did you do that? Because I know you're all dying to do this. I heard a little jingling, jangling in the pew over there, and I know you're ready, right? All right, give it a good shake. That is awesome. Okay, let's have a quick story. Well, what if I told you that you could have a crown of glory? See this special box that I brought today? How many of you would want to wear a beautiful, beautiful crown of glory? Can you raise your hands? Who would like a crown, a beautiful, beautiful crown? Let me show you my beautiful crown. Would you like to wear this beautiful crown with all the thorns in it?
Yeah.
I'll be talking to your mom afterwards. How many of you said no?
No.
That's right. Can you tell me who wore this crown of thorns?
Not me.
Jesus. Good job. But today, this crown is gone. And because Jesus died for us, you all are earning by being ambassadors when you go to heaven to meet with your loved ones. You are building a crown of glory. A gold crown. See each of the gems on this crown?
every time you do something wonderful and you put others before yourself, like you're doing with your pennies by helping people, you are building crowns of glory in heaven. So today, you're going to get one of these gold crowns to remind you what great ambassadors you are to one great hour of sharing. And I'm going to meet you in just a minute after a prayer over to the baptismal font, because you were baptized there. And now we're going to put our fish over there by the water. It's symbolic of what Easter means. Okay? And rebirth through Jesus Christ. So we're going to have a quick prayer. Ready? Dear Lord, thank you for being on the cross for us. We're sure glad that those thorns are gone. Thank you for teaching us to build our crowns of glory. In your name, amen. Okay, so if you'll gently meet me over at the baptismal font, that's where we're going to put your fish. You can put it right inside there. Watch the cord. Okay, here you go, honey. Give me your hand.
Do the fish stay alive?
Here you go. Here you go, honey. You can go back to your parents when you're done. Here you go, honey. Put your hand out. Here you go, sweetheart. Right here. There you go. Who needs a crown? Who else wants one? Honey, here you go, honey. Here you go, honey. Here you go, honey. There you go. And give one to him, too. Okay. Did you get one, honey? Here you go. Give your hand. Here you go, sir. Happy Easter. Did you get one, honey? You got one? Okay.
First reading of the word this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation."
Oh,
Hallelujah. Amen. The humorist and author David Sedaris writes about learning to speak French in Paris. He's in a class of many other non-French speakers, and the topic is holidays. The assignment is to converse about Easter using their meager vocabularies. And here's this great excerpt. The teacher asked, "Would anyone like to tell us what one does on Easter?" The Moroccan student interrupted, "Excuse me, but what's an Easter?" The Poles led the charge to the best of their ability. "It's a party for the little boy of God who called himself Jesus. And then he be die one day on two morsels of lumber." And the rest of the class jumped in, offering bits of information that would have given any religious leader an aneurysm. "He weared long hair, and after he died, the first day he come back here to say hello to the peoples." Sedaris keeps writing, "Part of the problem had to do with the vocabulary. Simple nouns such as cross and resurrection were beyond our grasp. Faced with the challenge of explaining the cornerstone of Christianity, we did what any self-respecting group of people might do. We talked about food instead. Easter is a party for to eat of the lamb," the Italian exclaimed. "One, too, may eat of the chocolate." "And who brings the chocolate?" the teacher asked. I knew the words, so I raised my hand. "The rabbit of Easter, he bring the chocolate." Faced with the challenge of explaining the cornerstone of Christianity, we talk about food. And that sounds about right. But you know what gets me even more than the food itself? The smell of food. The sense of smell is often cited as the most powerful sense we have for bringing back memories. When I think about the Easter of my childhood, it smells like this mixture of the Easter lilies that covered the front of the sanctuary. And it mixed together with the smells of all the people who came to worship together, the fancy lady perfume and the Old Spice aftershave and shoe polish. The combination of these aromas still caused me to break out in a very off-key rendition of "Jesus Christ is Risen Today." And when I've asked others, "So what does Easter smell like for you?" many said vinegar, recounting the stories of making the brightly colored Easter eggs. My children would say that Easter smells like chocolate bunny ears and fresh jelly beans, because fresh jelly beans smell better than the stale ones. For me this morning, Easter smelled like the crisp air of sunrise as the frost thawed off the blades of grass as we huddled out here to hear the good news that indeed he had risen. And I'm hoping later today that Easter smells like glazed ham and potatoes and pineapple upside down cake. Now that I've made everyone just a little bit hungry, I'm going to turn to the Gospel of Mark. Though this is a gospel writer with few words and details, we'll use our imaginations to think of what Easter smelled like that early morning. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the large stone had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out. They fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing more to anyone, for they were afraid. What is striking about the Gospel of Mark is to first notice what is missing. The fragrance of the garden in John's telling of the story, as the disciples run back and forth to the empty tomb, or the aroma of Jesus' feet as the two Marys cling tightly to them in worship, as told by Matthew. Come to think of it, Jesus isn't even in Mark's version of the resurrection story at all. Though Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they didn't know Jesus wasn't going to be there. They were expecting the smell of his body that would overwhelm them as they enter the tomb. Living in Judea, the temperatures would have climbed dramatically during the day, and three of them had passed since he died. And in the days before embalming and chemical processes, it was very common to cover the body with sweet-smelling spices. Apparently, this is where we get our modern-day practice of having flowers at funerals. I can't help but wonder if the women really thought that the sweet smell of spices would make any difference. Was covering the dead body of the one whom they loved with fragrance going to reprieve them from the stench of death? 3 days ago, the most horrible thing happened to their friend and their rabbi. All the Gospels tell the stories of this amazing man named Jesus, who lived his life to help the poor, to heal the sick, to practice radical hospitality, to forgive sinners, and to preach about all these strange countercultural ways of being who God wants us to be by loving each other. Those who knew him were changed by him forever. While the women who held the ways that they had been changed by Jesus close to their hearts, they came to the tomb that early morning expecting to be greeted by the inevitable reality that to be human, to be created, is to one day die. They were right to come to the tomb with spices. Death stinks, literally and figuratively. And our responses to it often feel as inadequate as spices at a tomb. When a deacon from church calls and asks you to provide a casserole to a family who has experienced the death of a loved one, We put together whatever combination of meat, carb, sauce, and cheese is on hand, and we think how painfully inadequate it is to show up at their doorstep with this foil-covered dish. We hear of a colleague who loses a parent, and we send a flower arrangement over to the funeral home. A close friend loses a spouse, and we sit with them as they cry and hold their hand, yet we ache to do something more when we know there just isn't anything we really can do. So we do what we can. The women did what they could. They showed up at the tomb with their hopelessly insufficient aromatherapy attempt to cover up the stench of the reality of death. And they are greeted in a rather unusual way. "He has risen," the young man dressed in white proclaims. "The body isn't there." We don't know what the women did with those sweet-smelling spices they had in hand, but I can imagine them being dropped on the floor of the tomb, and the container that they are in shatters all over the place, and the scent fills the space, and now mixed with the smell of spices and death is the scent of fear. The young man tries to reassure them, but they are barely able to hear him say that the one who they seek is going out ahead of them to Galilee. And the women take off. There are no words for what has happened, only the fragrance of those events that cling to their garments and their memories. The women are seized in terror by the announcement and the revelation that God completely overcomes something we feel inadequate to even approach. Bishop Will Willimon reminds us that although we are frail, mortal, finite human beings, and we are totally inadequate in our words and deeds in the face of death, God, the one who created life and gives life, is determined to be the creator and giver of life, even in death. Because Jesus is raised, we are bold to believe that we will also be raised. There isn't any amount of aromatherapy to make death smell any better. The good news of this day is we don't have to. We do what we can, and God does what we cannot. We bring the casserole, send arrangements of flowers, sit in the silence and tears, offer the words of consolation the best we can. These are the sweet-smelling spices brought to the tomb. And then we find ourselves unable to fix the greatest wrong that occurs in human life. We take a deep breath. We fill our whole beings with the scent of the day when our lives and our world are made whole and complete in God. And Mark doesn't give us any more of an ending than that. It is the sweet smell of God's promises that transform us this day. Alleluia. He is risen. Amen. Easter morning, we join our voices together to raise to God our prayers, those both spoken aloud and in the silence of our hearts. You are invited, if you would like to share a prayer of joy or concern. Please raise your hand so that an usher can see if you would like a chance to give voice to them.
Joanne Vander, I'd like to ask prayers for our daughter-in-law who's ill in the hospital, and we're praying she doesn't have to have surgery.
Prayers for her.
Dick Stewart, we're grateful to have our daughter Sheila and two little redheads that you may have seen running around here to this week with us. Our son-in-law John is still in Afghanistan for about another month. Please pray for his safety.
Got one right here.
Irene Ward, I would like prayers for a young man named Andre that I work with, and he has sustained a really bad head injury. So prayers for him and his wife, Heather.
All right, and prayers of joy and thanksgiving for all the friends and family that are here worshiping with us. Let us continue our time of prayer. Weeping comes for a night, but the joy comes in the morning, O God of power and might. Death has been defeated, and we shout Alleluia. Let all that we do today be a prayer of praise. For many of us, it is an Easter just like the others, with Easter bonnets and Sunday best, with the ringing of bells and hymns of joy, with the preparing of meals and gathering around tables and hunting for eggs. But let this be an Easter like no other. Let us see and hear with resurrection eyes and ears. Let us discern signs of new life in the usual places. A new baby, the beauty of nature, and in unusual places. Who knows where we might find you, if we but look. It is daunting to be resurrection people, even as we read and watch the news of continued violence, poverty, suffering, and despair. We drink in these stories with our morning coffee day after day and wonder where the Easter's gone. 1 year ago, we celebrated your resurrection, and it seemed like little has changed in our world since then. Easter seems another idle tale in the wake of lives destroyed by war, children abused, a creation spoiled, and endless bickering among our leaders. Too much hand-wringing and too little willingness to do the difficult things. Close to home, we know loved ones who have felt the death, the sting of death in their families. People who struggle to survive the loss of a job. People entombed by depression or a crippling illness. Yes, resurrection eyes are not blind to the pain. Resurrection ears are not deaf to cries of suffering. But resurrection people see your goodness, O God, that outlasts and overpowers any darkness we can experience. Easter is the climax of the story, but not the end. You alone can roll away the tomb, but we are called to run and tell. We have seen the Lord. Come and follow, believe and live. If we don't, who will? Resurrect us, O God of new life. Resurrect us from our complacency and fear. You have the power to do it. God, we offer these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we celebrate Easter, the resurrection, new life, we offer back to God a portion of the abundance of those blessings. Let us celebrate with our morning offering.
Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes and offerings as a token of our thankfulness for your continued blessings upon us. Help us to use them to further your kingdom here on earth. Please accept them and multiply their effectiveness so that your will may be accomplished. We ask this in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
And the peace of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.